You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Let's do our opening confession. Holy Spirit, override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and cancel the effects of receiving any accusations and lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and write this down. This is the word that God gave me for 2019. It's in Hebrews 11. If you need pen and paper, just slip up your hand. I know some of y'all got them special notebooks. Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what stood out, he called out the word now to me. and his interpretation of Nahum. I say, Holy Spirit, what does Nahum mean? And he says, new opportunities waiting. New opportunities waiting. So if the opportunities are waiting, are they already there? Did he say old opportunities?
No.
He said new opportunities waiting. So they're waiting on who?
Me.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna start talking about a new topic today, and that's called perspective. Because that gives me, if I have new opportunities, and that's plural, it was not singular, opportunities waiting. Remember I told you all when we started this ministry, I said God had told me that there are five new giftings on the inside of people that are at CGM. He didn't say five talents that you already have. He said these were new that you didn't know existed in you. So you know you can sing.
Yeah.
You sung all your life.
Yeah.
Well, this is new. This is going to be something different.
Yeah,
you follow me?
Yeah.
So that's how that is. So a lot of times we look at the gifting that we have, and we think that that was what he was talking about. But he said new. Because what happens is, if they knew, you got to trust who?
Yeah.
Okay. And it won't feel good. It's called growth, right?
Yeah.
Put them in position. And you got to depend on who. Yeah. Got to depend on him. Amen? Teresa, you got anything on the inside? You heard anything? Any word that you heard?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to talk about perspective. What is perspective? What does that mean?
How you see something.
Okay. Y'all got mics? Okay. All right. A mental view or perspective. A mental view. That means that it's not just about seeing with your eyes. Your eyes see what's going on, but it's your mind that will process what you're seeing. Really want you to take a look at that. Okay? The mental view of what you see. And we're going to go into some stuff. We're going to look at some things about what's your perspective on topics. Because you can't go past what you believe. The second one, somebody read that for me. Who got a mic? Mr. Chris? Go ahead, read it, sir.
The capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance.
So what do you guys think that means? Read it one more time, Chris.
The capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance.
The capacity. So how much newness can your mind take? If you used to being poor, how much abundance can you take? If you're used to being sick, how much health, healing can you take before you start to reject it? Follow me?
Yeah.
Because it gets to a place that capacity is overloaded, because if I'm not used to it, then I'm afraid of it. You can go ahead and write that down.
Yeah.
If I'm not used to it, I'm afraid of it. In counseling, I'll notice that it's normally six sessions. But after about three sessions, I recognize that people's capacity for healing gets to a place where they got to make a decision. The decision is, I'm feeling good, but should I? My capacity, the capacity to view things in relationship, in relations to my freedom. So I'm looking at that and I'm saying, wait a minute now. If I get free, what's going to happen? And I need some hands on that. If I get free, because if you're doing six sessions and you get to session three and you start to short circuit that, I get people who start to call late. Well, you know, I can't make this appointment. So I took care of that. I started charging ahead of time. Okay? So be late if you want to. You're still going to get the same amount of time. I mean, you're going to get the timeline. So if it's 45 minutes and you're 15 minutes late, we're still going to stop at your 45 minutes. Okay? All right? So then what else? So what stops? Okay, I got two in the back.
Then I can't have pity parties anymore.
Ooh, okay. All right.
If I get free, I can't hold on to lust, okay, or procrastination.
Okay, all right, okay. If I get free, I can't hold on to those things.
So if I get free, now what?
Now what? Ooh, okay. They ninjas.
My excuses.
Okay, I can't hold on to my excuses. Okay, all right. We got one up here, big O.
For me, I did not have the capacity to see improvement in my health.
Okay.
This week, I had to go and see my endocrinologist.
Okay.
I was extremely nervous and fearful.
Okay.
Because I'm not used to getting good news.
Okay.
When I went in, she's a spitfire. She's like,
okay. Straight in your face. Okay.
Look down. She pulls her glasses down. She looks over them, and she said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it."
Glory to God. Come on now. Come on.
She said, "Your numbers are phenomenal.
Okay.
You've lost another 12 pounds.
Glory to God. Come on.
And I'm just really proud of you." Okay. And I prayed before I went. But I was holding on to some fear.
Okay.
I didn't have the capacity to see past what I'd been through.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't think I was believing that there could be such an improvement. But God just really showed me.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your honesty. That's awesome. Give him a hand clap, guys. That is awesome. So, Holy Spirit, in a moment of time, would you mind showing her your perspective of what took place? And he's going to show you, and we'll talk to you in a minute. Right, Faith? We'll talk to you in a minute. So, the Holy Spirit, just close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to show you that your capacity went through him. And so, therefore, you were able to receive more than what you thought you could receive. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
If I get free, then I can't hold on to what the person did that I said caused damage, because the damage isn't there. Therefore,
okay.
I can't blame them anymore, because there's no residual of what they did.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm free on this side now, but at the time of counseling, and one of my thoughts was, it's kind of like going to the edge of a cliff.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what's on the other side.
Okay.
You don't actually know that you can fly.
Okay.
So part of my concern was, if I get free, well, if I listen to what God has to say, what if he reinforces the lie that I was believing?
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the honesty. Anybody else? We got one in the back.
If I got free, then I would give up control of my situation.
Give up control.
I'll give up control.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
If I got free, then I felt like, who's going to love me?
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Who's going to love me? If I get free, who's going to love me?
Somebody online says, if I get free, how long will it last?
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. Good questions. As long as you want it. That's how long freedom lasts, as long as you want it. Because you're the only one that can short-circuit your freedom. Well, what you got? God wanted to show you his perspective of what happened.
I feel like I'd allowed myself to stay in bondage.
Okay.
That I'd believed the lie that the blessings were not there for me.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I'm seeing such a different perspective in my life now. It's really overwhelming.
Okay, yeah.
I'm so grateful for it.
Okay. All right. It's okay. You can feel it. Okay. All right, anybody got it? Any other questions or statements about what? So write this down. I'm as free as I want to be. No hate mail. I'm as free as I want to be. Because anything we desire, we make sure we get. If we want to get something, we can talk ourselves into getting it, right? Okay? Fair enough?
Yeah.
So if we want freedom, we can talk ourselves into doing what's necessary. This young lady had been consistent at church. That was a different perspective. Follow me? Am I lying on it? I mean, now I don't even see her catching the regular bus thing. My girl is saying, you know, their time don't match my time. I need to get here and make sure I'm here. I seen her driving with other people. Only that I hadn't seen her do it with thumbing, but I'm going to get this. Because she got it a while ago. See, people don't want to hear stuff like that. Okay, but anyway, let me keep on going. Are y'all ready for this next definition? Ed, you ready for this? Give Ed a mic. Ed going to read this one for me.
The way you see things as a result of who you are and what you do.
So that's where perspective is. The way you see things. The way who see things? So you can have two children raised in the exact same family. No, she didn't. Raised in the exact same family. But the way one child saw it as opposed to the other child is based off who they are and what they do. So, as a pastor, I'm at a different perspective than what people in the congregation are, because I'm seeing it based off the result of who I am, I'm the pastor, and what I do. So when God tells me, he said, well, everybody in the congregation got five talents that they haven't developed yet. As a pastor, I believe them. Now the job is to get y'all to believe. You're talking to me? You mean to tell me I can do this? You follow me? But that's the only perspective that I can see, because that's who I am. That's who he's called me to be. So what is it that he's called you to be that is causing a hiccup in your perspective of God being all in all? I got one hand here. What's in there that's causing that perspective not to be seen?
Pastor, those things, those new things in us that he has called us to be, will those be things that he will just place in our spirit, or will those be things that other people see in us that we don't see in ourselves?
Most of the time, a pastor will see it, and once it's mentioned, you will want to run from it. Because you are thinking you have to perfect it. All together we say amen. Amen. Yeah. So you might hear a fleeting thought about it, Faith. But then all of a sudden when it's mentioned, something, there's excitement that launches, like ignites. But then you say, shut that sucker down, buddy. Shut that sucker down. You follow me? Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
That happened to me because I'd been in this church for 11 years.
Okay.
And then some of the elderly people like me, we did a praise dance.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden afterwards the pastor said, you know, you have so many talents. You're so talented.
Okay.
And when he said that, I just wanted to leave the church immediately.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, I don't want you to know that I'm talented, because you're going to try to use my talents for your benefit.
But okay.
That's why I tried to run.
Okay. All right. So the thing is that God says he perfects those things that concern us. He perfects them. Who does it?
God.
He does it. All we have to do is to be the willing vessel. You got a question? You good? Okay. All right. All right, so check this out. So now we're going to talk about perspective. According to what Ed just read, the way you see things as a result of who you are and what you do. So I want to look at those perspectives, okay? So men in the house, 18. Okay? All right, so as a man, what's men's perspective about things? What is a man?
A leadership role.
Okay, leadership role.
Yeah,
okay.
And they take responsibility.
Okay, and take responsibility. Ed, you got it. Hold on a second, Mike, come.
Protector.
Protector, okay. All right, protector, provider. What else? Anybody else?
They do what's necessary.
They do what's necessary, okay. All right, I got two over here. Yes, sir.
Strong will,
okay.
They don't cry.
They don't cry. Ooh, okay. So what they do with Jesus? Huh? What was Jesus' perspective about crying? Huh? Ooh, that's a short. So how come we as modern day men can't cry if Jesus cried. Oh, I got two hands. They shot up. Because all we're talking about is perspective.
Yes, because sir. We've probably seen it from like our father. I saw it from my father. Okay. He didn't cry for the longest time. I didn't think it was cool to cry.
Okay. Jesus cried.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was talking to a brother the other day.
Okay. And, he gave me a go there, man.
No, because I was telling him about the church and everything. He was like, I said, you know, we are here. We crying. We getting healing. Okay. Healing is what I say, right?
Okay.
And he was like, oh, man, men don't cry on your wife. Don't supposed to see you cry because you ain't strong at that point.
Okay.
I said, well, Jesus cried. He just started laughing and kept moving.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's perspective. I can't cry because what Wayne say, I didn't see my father cry. Was he with his father all the time? Could father be cutting grass and cry? Could he be out in the garden crying? Could he be driving to work and cry? Wayne?
And it's funny because when we was out having during the holidays, my mom was sharing instances where my dad did cry.
Uh-oh.
I never knew it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm beating myself up about something that I hit my version, my perspective of it. Because I never seen it, I'm saying that it didn't happen. All right, what about father? So we just talked about a man. What's your perspective about fatherhood? What have you heard or seen about being a father?
Leader.
Leader, okay.
Protector.
Protector.
And provider.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Teacher.
Teacher, okay.
The disciplinarian.
Disciplinarian, okay, okay, all right. Everybody good with that? Did y'all see some of the roles were similar? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I know I'm going to get participation now. Y'all ready for it? You ready for it? Okay. What's your perspective about being a woman and a mother? Let's start out with just the woman part first. All right? Who got something to say about that? Being a woman.
Resilient.
Resilient, okay.
Speak with tact.
Speak with tact, okay. All right? Self-sufficient. Self-sufficient, okay.
Caretaker.
Caretaker, okay. Nurture. She want to keep on going. She hesitated. Go. You got one more. Go ahead. See, her hand did like this, like, come back.
Okay. Protector,
okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Independent,
okay. All right. Anything else? You got one here? We're talking about perspective. How you see things.
Helper,
okay. You got two? Resourceful, okay.
I don't have a one-word answer, but I think being a woman is different from being a female.
Okay.
So that's biological.
Uh-huh.
And as a woman, there's maturity, I
maturity,
guess.
Okay. All right. We got one up here.
Oh, Ms. Brenda said that being a woman is being a thinker.
Okay, a thinker. Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, I've heard smarter than men.
Smarter than men? Okay. All right. Right here.
Being a woman is being sexual.
Sexual, okay. All right. All right, what about a mother? Oh, you got still a woman?
Warrior,
okay. A warrior. Not warrior, a warrior. All right, what about a mother? What's the perspective on that? I got two.
Patient,
okay.
Denying of self.
Denying of self. Now, that booth back there, that booth busy. Adrian, go ahead.
Nurturer.
Unconditional love.
Okay.
Compassionate.
The adjectives, these are adjectives, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem a little different than men, aren't they? Yeah. Okay.
Loving.
So, loving. I got to see her whole hand, see whether she's trying to pull it back. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Protector.
Okay. You got one here?
Disciplinarian.
Disciplinarian, okay. Those were similar. All these are based off perspective.
Teacher.
Okay. So let me ask you guys. So did you see that practice in the household to get those adjectives, or did you come up with them? You saw them? Okay. Okay. All right. Husband. What's your perspective about husband? Some of y'all won't even raise your hand. Okay, so just to let you know, so body language reading, okay. So if my hand, my arm is relaxed, it's just relaxed. But if I'm afraid to raise it, can you see tension in that? Okay, so that's what I'm seeing. I ain't raising that sucker up or nothing. Okay, so.
I have a provider, a protector,
okay.
A lover,
okay.
A friend.
Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say provider also.
Okay.
Right. And caretaker.
Caretaker, okay. Some of y'all biting your lips. That's I'm trying to hold it in. That's what that means.
Protector again.
Protector and what?
I said protector again.
Okay, protector again. Okay, all right.
Compassionate and understanding.
Okay, all right. Compassionate and understanding. A good listener. All right, Monty, what you got your head all tilted for? Wife. What's your perspective about a wife? You know you want to say something? Go ahead and raise your hand.
They do everything.
They do everything.
They do everything.
Okay. All right. All right. That's his perspective. She said, no, they don't. I said, that's his perspective. Right? Anybody else about wife? All right. Got one there?
They won't let their husband go hungry.
They won't let their husband go hungry. Okay. Are some people scared to get married based on what they heard about a husband or what they heard about a wife? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. Okay. Really? Okay.
To say a wife is underappreciated.
Underappreciated?
Yeah.
Okay. So would y'all mind sharing your perspective about what you heard about a husband or a wife? Why you're not in a hurry to get married? And those people that raised their hand, do you feel comfortable sharing? Okay. She said, doggone right. That's what her. What have you heard?
No, it's just what I observed growing up.
Okay.
Both of my parents were married, but not married to each other.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Y'all can read between the lines, right? Okay.
And she hit it on the head because she said that she won't let him go hungry. But if you don't know how to cook or you don't want to cook, then your husband's going to go hungry. But my dad could cook for himself
because
my mom couldn't.
Okay.
So, and I can't cook that good.
Okay.
So he's going to go hungry.
Okay. And what have you heard about husbands? Wives? I mean, no. What have you heard about husbands? Why you don't... I'm just seeing whether y'all still awake.
Controlling.
Okay. Got one back there.
Unaffectionate.
Okay.
Now, this is not my husband, but because I deal with a lot of women, I hear this all the time.
Okay.
Selfish. They can't go anywhere. Why are you leaving the house?
Okay.
You left last night.
Okay. All right.
Selfish.
Okay, selfish. Y'all got it? Okay, I'm going to go ahead because y'all don't. Y'all like, okay, I'm going to. Monty, you all right? You straight? Okay, all right. Ooh, let's talk about children. What's your perspective on children? Some people say they want to have one. Some say none. Some say half of one. What we got? Okay, we got two over here. I'm just trying to figure out what's your perspective. Because how did we, what did we say, Ed, the sentence that you read? It's based off who you are and what you do.
My perspective has changed as they have changed over the years.
Okay.
You know, they go from loving you to you're not being cool anymore.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, I still love them, but it's more difficult right now.
Okay. So you try to change as they grow.
I'm trying.
Trying to. Okay. All right. You had your hand up, right?
The word that came to mind was investment.
Investment. Okay. Children are investment. Okay. All right. I remember when we were pregnant with Jazz, and we went to our accountant, and they said, ooh, when she saw Curly's stomach, instead of her saying, ooh, you're having a child, she said, you're having a deduction. I'm saying, you know, Curly and I, we kicked each other at the table like, what? I'm not a deduction. But who was she? A tax accountant. So what was her perspective? Okay. Yeah.
A responsibility and okay. A gift from God.
A responsibility and a gift from God. Tell me about the responsibility. Tell me about that part.
God gives them to us to raise up.
Okay. All right. Never throw a monkey in the wrench. What about teens? So I just said children first. Now we just want to go a little deeper because there is a difference in, okay? Okay, Wayne said, I can still speak to that. Okay,
doing a substitute teaching. And I think a little before this, I always thought the teens were very obnoxious.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do they think they know everything? Yeah. Did we think we knew everything? Come on now, let's be honest. Yeah, we ain't know nothing. Yes, ma'am.
He slowed is mostly teens, and they feel entitled.
Entitled. Ooh, okay.
I mean, really, like they're in their own world.
Okay.
They created their own world.
They create, okay, all right. Got one in the back?
Needing more love.
Needing more love, okay. All right, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you think that you're supposed to give your baby more love, uh-huh. But I found that the older they are, the more insecure they are about themselves, so the more I need to love them.
Gotcha, okay. Give them more love, okay. I got one here.
Teens are in between two worlds of childhood and adulthood. So ooh. They're trying to find themselves.
Okay, trying to find themselves. Okay, all right. So that's their perspective, right? And so what answers that call for them? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? What answers that call for them? Snapchat? Okay.
All right. You have to be more patient.
More patient. Okay. Right. All right. So I'm going to stir it up a little bit more. 18 and up. Did somebody say child? What happens once they turn 18 and up? What's their perspective? What's the perspective on them? 18 and up.
You turn from teaching to coaching.
Ooh, turn from teaching to coaching. So, honey, what's the difference on that?
Well, teaching is you're going to do this because you're in my house.
Gotcha. Okay.
Coaching is asking questions.
Okay.
What do you think would happen if you decided to do that?
Okay.
Letting them come up with their own decisions so they can grow.
Okay. So y'all make sure you take note of that if you got a 18 and up.
When they're 18 and up, they think that they're grown and that they can make their own choices, but then they run to you to help them if the consequences are not in their favor.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So they want to make their own decisions, but hold you responsible for fixing it. Okay. All right. Who else? You got something? You good? All right, y'all got enough of that? Y'all in a good place? Okay. Perspective about employer. So everybody work for somebody or run your own business? Okay. So from a employer perspective, why are you there? To make them money. That's it. No other reason. Make them money. So when you come up with your side, I wish I could tell you different. So when you got, you know, family issues, baby sick, what else? What else don't happen to stop? You got car problems? You not feeling well? She said straight up, you just don't want to go. Mental health day. Okay. Are you making them money? Okay. But what's their perspective? Let's talk about their perspective. All right, so I said one to make them money. I got one in the back. You got one?
I remember a long time ago, I think you know the guy, Greg Charlotte, he said nobody should get think they're bigger than they are because everybody's expendable here.
Okay, okay. And he proved it. We remember seeing him walk down the sidewalk with the box. Y'all know the box. You know what the box I'm talking about? That's it. We saw the brother walking with the box out the building. So,
To delegate.
Delegate, okay. All right.
I remember a former employer of mine telling us that we were miles to feed.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
That's how, because you were talking about the yearly review and the salary. And say, well, we have more miles to feed now.
Okay, got you. Okay, all right. So if we can have one morsel and let you split it.
You should be a problem solver and not a problem maker.
Ooh, okay, okay. Perspective. Got one in the back?
I heard him say you're just a cog in the wheel.
Just a clog in the wheel. Okay. All right. What about employee? Oh, you can go ahead.
I was just going to say I've been told that whenever I went out to do a training that I was a representative of their business, so okay. I needed to act accordingly
okay.
at all times.
Okay. All right. What about an employee? What's the perspective on that? Uh-huh. Or something you've heard, something you observed. I'm the hardest worker they got, okay. All right. Got one here and two up here.
Always trying to get over.
Always trying to get over. Okay, employees try to get over. You
don't pay me enough to have to stay and do overtime.
Okay, all right.
The exact opposite. I'm going to do my best.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else? So I just wanted to take you through a couple things about life and the perspective on it. So most of what you've said either is something you observed or something you were told. And that perspective has stayed with you. I'm surprised I hadn't heard it. Well, I didn't say merit, so I'm going to move on. Okay. All right, y'all say that out loud. The perspectives, with an S, we choose and nurture. What does that mean? We hold on to it. We feed it. We imagine it. We act it out. For better or worse, that means you can have a healthy perspective, and that goes for the better side. You can have an unhealthy perspective, and that could go for the worse side. You can't have a healthy relationship having a negative perspective. Because who's going to mess it up? Me and my perspective. You can't have a healthy relationship with a negative perspective. Who's going to mess it up? Me and my perspective. Oh, why did you give me that? I just wanted to bless you. Well, what you want? What's the perspective behind it? You out to get me? Into the person we become. A sick person can get healed and they'll lose their healing because their perspective is healing is not for long. Healing is going to come and it's going to go. I'm not worthy to be healed. What just happened? God made a mistake. He jumped over such and such when it should have been such and such. So what's the perspective you chose that shaped you? Well, y'all want to talk about somebody else?
I think one thing that kind of like marked me for a greater part of my life was like when I could never good at sports.
Okay.
And I would never get called, you know, they would divide the team up into play basketball. I never got called to play.
Okay.
Yeah, or I was the last one. Or like if they did get called, they would begrudgingly bring me on.
Okay. All right, so y'all check this out. So does that perspective only pertain to sports? Ooh, why y'all say that? Huh? Y'all talking in tongues? Is it silent among yourselves? Or what just happened? No. You got something else. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Now go ahead.
I think I figured out early that I wouldn't make a good wife.
Okay.
So I told myself I was going to be a nun.
Okay.
Because I was raised Catholic. So even today I told somebody that I was going to be a nun.
Okay.
Like a priest, a nun. You know, okay. Uh-huh. Because that gets me off the hook of having to be a wife
okay.
and a mother.
Okay.
Because nuns don't have children.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or husbands.
Okay. All right. Who else? What perspective shaped you that you nourish?
So as a kid, I remember drawing this picture. Uh-huh. I went to Genesis. We were drawing pictures of what we wanted our future to be. And I had my best friend at the time to draw her picture, but we all drew it on the same page, okay. right? So okay. I got to coordinate everybody's okay. dream. We got to be together. So I drew this huge building, hospital, something. I was going to be a pediatrician. And my friend drew a business. She was going to own a business. And then we had a friend that drew a cash register. Okay. She wanted to be a cashier.
Okay.
And it hurt my heart to okay. hear her say she wanted to be a cashier. I was like, you could own the grocery
okay, okay,
store.
Okay.
All right. So as a kid, I just wanted people to know that they could do more than what they've seen.
Gotcha. Okay. Appreciate your honesty. Did the girl cry?
Gabrielle Clark. No, she didn't cry, but I think she knew me enough to know how to ignore me.
Okay.
She was like, that's your thing. That's not okay. my thing. Okay. I like cash registers. Okay. And I'm going to play with the cash registers. Okay. I was like, you could buy your own cash register okay. once you buy the grocery store. Okay. It was very strong. It's okay. still very strong.
Okay. Yeah. I can see her. She got into that.
I remember growing up, I don't know why I was maybe like 8 or 9, I was looking at Charlie Brown Christmas special. Okay. He was complaining about, oh, nobody likes me. Why do we got to have a holiday to remind me of it? You know? And so, and I used to say, man, I feel the same way. And okay. so I kind of grew up, man, I'm related to Charlie Brown.
Okay. Know?
But that's where it was.
Okay, appreciate y'all. Remember is... Whose perspective? Your perspective. Don't try to fix somebody else's perspective. We're going to bring healing to it, though, but we won't try to fix it. What else? Anybody else before we close? Yes, ma'am. She thought about it, and then she thought about it again, and moved her leg like this. I'm not going to share nothing, and then move her arm. But anyway, go ahead.
Thank you.
That's my perspective.
Mine is that things shouldn't take that long
Ooh,
or
okay.
be that hard.
Okay, things shouldn't take that long or yeah. be that hard. Okay, all right.
I have a question.
Okay.
Suppose.
Okay.
You didn't want the perspective that you have.
Uh-huh.
But that's what you saw.
I got you.
All around you.
Uh-huh.
You saw this one glimmering light of a good idea.
Okay.
And then all these black holes of relationships to the other side.
Okay.
It's hard to deny the black holes.
Okay.
Except for this one glimmering light.
Okay.
So how do you not pay attention to all the black holes? There's so many black holes. But just the one glimmering light. How do you say, okay, I can have the glimmering light too?
Okay.
When you've had a black hole yourself.
Okay.
You know, right. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. Okay. First of all, you're going to forgive the person that you observed their perspective. You got it? So you're going to forgive them. I know the air got sucked out of the room because I said that magic word, forgive. You got to forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, what's created is called the family of origin. The family of origin says, I have to go and recreate the very thing that created all the holes because this time I'm going to make it better. Okay? But if we forgive the people, then we don't have to recreate. Okay? That helps us out a whole lot. But that thing is real, guys. And it's so real that it's subconscious. You follow what I'm saying? You don't think that that is like that. You go out and you date. That's a hand? Or you just, okay. So it's family origin. If you hit an alcoholic dad, what happens is you go out and you try to date. Because my perspective was, whenever I get stressed, I get drunk. Whenever I get drunk, I beat my wife. So then I said as a little boy, a little girl, I'm going to recreate that. I'm going to make that better. I'm going to fix that. So when I date and I marry, I'm not going to marry anybody like that. And that's the very person you gravitate towards. So you got to forgive them to get rid of some of these black holes, all them black ones that you saw. You got to forgive them first, and then after that, that's why Jesus came. Because this whole thing is in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by what? Be transformed by seeing a different perspective, which is his. That's why people hate forgiveness. It's because our perspective is, in the world system, is weak. His perspective is, it was so important that was the last thing he said before he passed, before he died. Other than, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember when they're getting ready to kill somebody, they say, do you have any last words? His word was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then he screamed out as he died. That's how important. But see, his perspective was, if I forgive them, for they know not what to do, he forgave, just talking about all of us, as well as the people back then, so now we are in his family. So his perspective is, if the last words out of my mouth is forgiveness, then I can get all these people saved. But that's not our perspective. Now, you on the cross and you have the ability to call down legions of angels, but your perspective is, y'all stay exactly where you are because I need this to take place. Somebody hear that? You hear that?
Yes. My question to you is, are there layers to the perspective that has shaped our lives? Like, mine was lack.
Okay, right, okay.
And I remember my conversations were always around not having enough, needing this, da 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 da. And I believe that I'm healed because I'm not where I was.
Exactly.
So is there still a remnant, you know, that exists in me because of, you know, layers that have to be peeled away? And
the layers that show up, you will know it and you'll get rid of it just like that.
Okay.
Okay, so it won't be the work that was required to get you to that place. So you understand what I'm saying? So let's say all of us, once we get healed, are 99% healed. Is that good enough? Or y'all want to be 100%? Then we get cocky. Then we get prideful. I don't need you, God. You follow me? So when it comes up, you'll know it. You'll recognize. You'll get that yucky, and you're like, okay, who I need to forgive? You know, like with me, I say my nose will run. So when that happens, like, okay, there's somebody I left out, okay, and I just go do it, and then I'm good. Yeah, yeah. We won't reach perfection until we see Jesus. But I tell you, 99 is a whole lot better than where we came from. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Family of origin situation. I saw my mother recreate her family in my family.
Okay.
So I guess I did. I figured if I didn't get married and have kids, I couldn't recreate the family that, you know, another third generation of the same situation. But yet, every now and then, I find myself dating my brother or my mom or my, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
And when I realized that, I dropped them like a hot potato. But the fact that I even picked them, like you pointed out, means that there's that remnant still there, right?
Yeah. And so just keep in mind that it doesn't just have to be marital relationships. It could be mannerisms. How they dealt with money, how they deal with their anger, how they deal with secrecy, how they deal with clothes, how they dress, how they did tidiness or the lack thereof. You follow me? So a family of origin is about more than just your relationship, who you marry and so forth. It can have other things. What you drive. Well, daddy drove a Cadillac. So, you know, I got to drive a Cadillac. You don't even like Cadillac. All right, anybody, anything else? So all this is to take us to a place where I'm going to teach us about God's perspective and how his perspective is guaranteed. Okay? But I got to get you to a place where you can start seeing how many things you have in your life right now based off your perspective.
So when you were saying, okay, explaining family origin to her about, like, recreating, like, your tidiness or the way you dress, I don't, how is that related to that?
Okay, because it's almost like a perspective. That thing which you judge, you bring into your life.
Step outside looking like anything. Okay. You got it.
Okay. Okay. All right. So where did you learn that from? Who did you see do that?
We weren't allowed to. Like, okay. Come outside with slippers or rollers or scarves.
Okay.
That just wasn't allowed.
Okay.
It wasn't being properly dressed.
Okay.
So I don't do it to this day.
Okay.
Like, for me to see somebody walk outside with the pajama bottoms or fuzzies.
Okay.
To me, that's like, oh my God.
Okay.
Did they do that? That's like, so that's like a big faux pas for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And did you guys ever watch somebody in your house go out well dressed? Yeah. I mean, it's like you weren't ready, you wasn't up to par yet, so you watched them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you watched them. Yeah. It's like, well, this is how you're supposed to go out. And if I don't go out that way, then something's not right. And then when you see somebody, like I was at Walmart this morning, got my hair cut, 6 o'clock in the morning, and a lady came in, one of them, what we have on for Christmas, honey, them onesies? The girl should have stayed home. I stood with my basket. Wasn't no lust, no nothing going on, but I was like, the girl got the onesies on, got the curlers in the hair, got the come on, man. So, Faith, what do you think she saw in her house? What was her perspective?
Somebody came outside.
Yeah. I'm serious, man. I stopped everything. I like. I watched it till she turned the corner. I'm like, wow. Okay. All right, so, you got one? But see, all this is under the blood. But all we got to do is activate the blood. We don't have to put up with anything that's not of God. But if we don't renounce it, then it stays there. Because remember the word now? New opportunities waiting. He's waiting us to say, I no longer want this family of origin in my life anymore. I want your family of origin. I want the DNA of Jesus Christ. I want everything that you walked in. The peace, the joy, the rest, the abundance, I choose that for me. So that's what this teaching is all about, is finding your perspective and how it jacked us up, and I'm included in that, and then giving that perspective to God. There are people sitting here right now that never thought they would see themselves tied. And then there's other people who tied it all their life. That's how we, the church that we came from, that's how we were raised. You know, I remember my mom telling me, boy, when you get your money, you always tithe. You follow me? And then there's other people who think the pastor trying to take your stuff. But then God's going to change your perspective. There's certain people who don't believe in divine healing. But God is going to change your perspective. Certain people got some mental illness. Don't look at your neighbor, look straight ahead. God wants to heal. It's available. You hit your mic.
Yeah, I was going to say that thank you for expanding and extending what you were saying about the our perceptives being shaped. That family origin is another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, it's a big
that I need to tap into that part.
Okay.
Because I was thinking it was just the lack part, but there are some other parts to it, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. Yes, ma'am.
So what is the difference between family of origin and bitter root judgment? So, like, that's what I thought of when Shell was talking. Okay. I was like, oh, you got bitter root judgment too, though.
Okay. So family of origin is what psychology uses in the world. Bitter root judgment is the Christian version of that. Yeah. So everything the world has, God established it first. You got it? Yes. Yes, sir.
So of course, they can be good and bad, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
My mom was a cheerleader. In the sense of, Nicole's like, what? I didn't know she did like it. Attitude was always up, man. Guess who I met? Remember how I told you how she wake up? Wow. Life is great. I can't wait. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get up early just so I can experience life. That's it. I got to recreate that. Good. I chose the good part. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, anybody else? Everybody good? So tell your friends about what we're teaching them. Your perspective is going to change if you will allow God to do it in you. Because you're going to start to see some stuff. You didn't come up with an original idea. That's the awesome part about it. You saw that. Your perspective. Nicole said, I never have to depend on anybody again. Somewhere in there, she saw that. That's why I keep telling her, you got to own. How many times have I told you? We've been together for 7, going on 8 years. And I said, you're not supposed to work for somebody. You're supposed to have your own business. Am I lying? Because I knew her perspective. You follow me? And all we're going to do is tamper it a little bit so that it won't have hurt attached to it. It'll have peace attached to it. You follow me? All right, let's do our cold confession. All right, let's read together. I stir up the gift that is within me by faith. I'm stirring up the power that is within me. I'm stirring up myself and running fear, procrastination, and every hindering spirit out of my personal and business affairs. I'm ruled by my spirit. I tell my mind what to think and my body what to do, for I am a master of my emotions. I'm a person of immediate action. I am steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These goals are my passion. I pursue them with enthusiasm and relentless determination. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My loins are girded about with truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, wherewith I quench every fiery dart of the wicked, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. No sickness, disease, incidents, or accidents can come nigh my dwelling. If I drink of any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. I came to win in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.